All right. Once again, hello, everybody. This is Michelle Gunderson. This is our prequel for our practical application series, and I'm super excited to see you here. And welcome to the students in the Love Your Words community. So great to see you. Just saw you all yesterday. So really happy to see you here. And just going to mute the lines again. I have just a couple lines open so we have a nice clear recording. And also welcome to Karen Rolfe's community. So Karen is, as many of you know, is a very dear friend of mine. And this is our second year in a row to welcome some of the repeating students in Karen's community to our practical application series. So super excited to get underway. And I'm really happy to be here. I just got back from a trip from Thailand. So I'm filled with the new energy, new ideas. And I was just last week like playing with elephants and feeding them bananas in their trunks. And I didn't know that I would actually stick my hand in an elephant's mouth. It's like, who'd have thought, right? And playing with them in the mud. So anyway, I'm filled with all kinds of super fun and new energy. Super excited about this course, Practical Applications, Get Results with Your Words. And we've never done a pre-call before the series before. Just really wanted to get us underway before we move into U.S. Thanksgiving. I myself am Canadian, but we have many of our American friends. Many of you are from the U.S., and I wanted to make sure that there was a space to let you celebrate that week, and then we get underway in a huge way after we come back. So I wanted to give a couple of public service announcements to you, and I'm so glad now you can hear. That's great to hear. So couple of announcements, public service announcements before we get underway with the content of today's call. I want to leap right in. So how many of you received an email in your inbox about the series? Hopefully that's how you got here. So you've got the email. Make sure you've got a hold of that email because it gives you some really important instructions. Like, please read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. So how many of you have read Anatomy of an Empowering Story at least once before? Okay, so if you've not, you've got the link in your inbox. It'll give you a really important jumping off point for our work together. So please check that email. It'll give you a link. How many of you, by the way, have any read it? Have you read it more than once? I'm pretty sure, yes. Okay, really cool. Anybody read it more than twice? That's me. I wrote the thing and I've read it many, many times. All right, so two is a record. Every time I read that, I learn something new about how we put stories together, how we put our words together, how we put our stories together to actually create impact in our companies and in the world. So it's what I did my PhD in, right? How do we have, like, what stories bind us, what stories set us free in ways we don't even know? What are the biggest story mistakes that entrepreneurs make that block them in ways they don't even know, and what to do about it? And again, super important background for our work together. So, and as I say, I learn new things every time I read it and I wrote the thing. So please make sure you do that before next time we meet. Also, thanks to those of you, some of you have already filled out the survey, and the deadline that my assistant Amy put on it was today, but I don't know, many of you might not have even seen it in your inbox yet. So thanks to those of you who have filled out the survey already. Please take the time to fill out the survey that we've sent you. And it's a really great time to take a snapshot of your business. You might not like that word business, the work that you do, the service that you provide on this planet. It will help you to think about where you want to use your words, what impact you want to have, and how you want to grow the work that you do over this coming year, and what this work that we're doing together will have to do with that. So take the time to read Anatomy. Please fill out the survey, and please add dates, the dates of all the calls to your calendar. You want to get the big rocks in first. And this series is a really, really deep dive that has the potential. Each piece that we do here has the potential to change a life, to change your company. And I don't say that lightly. Please make sure that you've got those dates on your calendar. And for those members of the Love Your Words community, I just want to remind you that is not if you're just in practical applications, if you're here as a member of Karen's community, but for those who are in the Love Your Words community, I just want to remind you that you have an updated calendar. Make sure that you've printed it out. It came out October 31st. And on that calendar, just note that our next call in Having a Big Why series is on a Monday, December 2nd. and at a different time than we usually meet. It's at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Translate to your own time zone, please. All right. So that is just for the members of the Love Your Words community. That's on Monday. And then we all meet, I believe it is, on Tuesday. Let me see. Goodness. Well, I follow the same calendar that you do. So Tuesday, December 3rd, I think it is. Our usual meeting time is 12:30 Mountain Time. Translate to your own time zone and get the big rocks in first once again. So read anatomy, fill out the survey, add the dates to the calendar. Please make sure that you post questions. Please post the questions for this. And all of you should have been given entryway to Story Freedom Academy, where you can post questions, and to our practical applications forum. So who has not seen that, who has not received that, the route to practical applications? Anybody not seen that yet? Should be writing that welcome letter, right? And for those in the Love Your Words community, you're familiar with that. But if it's for those in the Love Your Words community, I want to remind you, if you're asking questions for the practical application series, post it in the practical applications area. If you're asking questions for having a big Y series, post it in the in our Love Your Words Having a Big Y series, all right? If you're confused by that, I'll try to be checking both of them. And if I miss your question, just raise your hand. Please ask a follow-up question. The more you ask questions in this series, the more I'll be able to help you out. And yes, the survey, we actually just updated one of the questions. If you've already filled out the survey, don't worry. We got the same basic information from you, but we slightly changed the wording. And yes, we've asked for what is your, when we say what is your expected, projected, what is your anticipated, you know, what was your revenue goal for last year? What was your revenue goal for this year? That just gives me some idea of what it is you're kind of trying to create. So I would really like to earn $5 from the work that I'm doing this year. It's a very different company than I want to earn $5 billion next year with different moves that are needed. So it gives me a snapshot. And yeah, I'm asking for 2020, like what's your projection over this following year? So thanks for that question. Already posting questions in the chat over here. Thank you for that, that question, Steve. So, let me see. Yeah, so make sure you're posting questions. And what other announcements? I think that's it I have for announcements for today. So I want to just start by telling you a little bit of giving you a little bit of background about, you know, why it is just for a minute, why I'm teaching this course called Practical Applications, Get Results with Your Words, and what my background is in and around this this area. So my company's called Story Freedom, and my area is about story, as I mentioned, like how do we tell stories that really move the needle for our companies and our lives. And when we are growing our whether you call it your business, your company, the work that you do to serve people, we're telling stories everywhere. I'm telling you stories right now. We tell stories to clients. We tell stories to our team to help inspire them to do the work that we need them to do, whether we have our family members helping us or we have a big team behind us or volunteers or paid employees. We stories are involved when we are selling, when we are marketing our companies, when we are doing email campaigns, when we are networking with people, when we're talking to people who could be engaged in our work, when we're telling our bio, when we're speaking from stage. Everywhere, when you think about it, our company is made up of stories. And what do those stories consist of? They consist of the words that we use. And our words connect us. Our words inspire us. Our words words and stories, I mean, they're natural to us as human beings. We've been telling stories around campfires from when we were, you know, from prehistoric times. It's how we connect. It's how we pass on knowledge. It's how we inform. It's how we persuade. It's how we connect. And I started finding in the industry that, you know, many people didn't really know how words worked. And if we don't know how words work, there's no way we can talk to anybody about the work that we do and have them leap in, and so we can provide the transformation that we're meant to provide on this planet. And my company, again, is called Story Freedom. They often enter in from stories, but this series, Practical Applications, Get Results With Your Words, focuses on the words. And so again, I told you a little bit about my PhD was about that. But I used to teach at university. My background is as an academic. And I realized there's a whole piece of what I... Oh, yeah. You didn't know that I used to teach university? Lindsay, are you going, I didn't know that? Oh, you did know that. Oh, that was just, oh, that was something else. Okay. It's not you shaking. I always have you in gallery view so I can look at all of you here, right? I think the recordings come out with just me or just whoever's speaking, but I like to see you all because then I know, like, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you all falling asleep? Are you safe when you're driving? Please pull over if you need to so that you can, you know, try to not be multitasking, because one of the things we need as entrepreneurs, as visionary messengers on this planet, is not to multitask, to be able to train our focus. So whatever way you're here though today, if you're here listening, you're here listening live, there'll be times for interaction as well. If you're listening to the recording later, if you're here with your video on, I always appreciate that so I can see you. If you're here with your video off, however my voice is reaching you, welcome. I'm so happy you're here, and I promise you I'm going to give like 100% of my time and energy and attention and focus to have you really get the results that you want so you can get results with your words. It's a practically designed course. So story is my field, but this course about words. And I was often, I've been working with entrepreneurs for many, many years, and I sometimes forgot about the background that I have also in words. So I've taught, you know, year-long courses that really had at its foundation, how do words work and how do we become persuasive? How do we influence another? And we have funny ideas about what influence is. And I'll talk about this a little later on in today's call. Sometimes we think of it as something that somebody's going to do to us and it's power over, and it's nothing like that. If that's what you're looking for, like, how do I manipulate someone and get power over them so that I can, you're in the wrong place, please hang up. It's not about that. It's really not about that. Not about that at all. Persuasion, influence, it's not about that. It's so much, and I'm already leaping ahead here, about connection, about how do we find connection with our words? How do we find the words to say it, and how do we source them from a much deeper place so we can actually be heard, so that our words resonate, our words become meaningful, and people take action because of them in order to grow their lives, in order to benefit, in order to, we're naturally, if you're listening to my words, I know that you're an uplifter. I know that you are here to make a difference on this planet. So part of my background, again, how do we find those words that are persuasive? How do we find those words that create influence? And so I want to, there's a lot that we're going to do today. The structure of today's call, we're going to be here for about 90 minutes. I don't punch a clock very well. Try to block out a couple of hours when we meet. I don't think we ever just go to 90 minutes. And if you have to leave earlier than that, no worries. You can catch it in the recording, all right? This is some of the things we're going to talk about in today's call. It's like, well, what do you even hear in those words? Practical applications, get results with your words. What does that even mean to you? So what are you here for? What is persuasion anyway? I told you a little bit about what I think it's not, what persuasion, influence, and what's out there that doesn't work. So a lot of stuff, you can read a lot about it. You can take courses. And I think it's just like, want to do it the easy way instead? This is the hard way, and it builds weird structures inside of us. I'll talk about what doesn't work out there. Why, you know, battlegrounds and formulas and things that people are trying are just not working. And then we're going to learn three key foundations for the course. So I've got an ambitious goals for today. My students, if you've been working with me, sometimes, you know, we won't get to all the pieces today. If we don't get there today, don't worry. We'll get there next time. We always build space into the program. We'll get there, and there'll be plenty of time for your questions as well. Three key foundations for the course. Number one is the four principles of persuasion. What do we actually need in order to persuade people, in order to have people leap into our work, whatever it is we do? If we are not persuasive, we don't have words that will land with people. We don't have a business. Maybe we have a hobby. Maybe we have something that we dreamed about, but we're not actually implementing. Right, so number one, the four principles of persuasion. Number two, something that I call the close to far principle. And a lot of people are wasting a lot of time and money, and it's just not effective, and they burn out before they can get there. So what is the principle that will actually have us taking the right actions in the right order to grow what we do on the planet, and to use our words effectively in the right places first, and then move from there to other places? Then the third foundation is the principle of connection, or what I sometimes what I call the EIC principle, and why that matters so much for words that that land. So ambitious for our first call today. I want to start with I've been talking a lot already here, and I let me see. Do I want to tell you this? I want to assure you that the principle, thanks Jasmine, Jasmine's nodding like this, in case you're not in gallery view, you can't see her, right? That the principles that I'm here to teach you, they work. That everything that we do here will make a difference to your company and your life when you have ears to hear. And if there's something that you didn't hear, that didn't work for you, that didn't make sense, go ahead and post a question. If you've got a question, probably somebody else has a question about that as well. And Anna Marie, I see your note. Thank you so much for that. No worries. So let me give you an example. And let me see. This wasn't even from this course, but one of the principles from this course, it's, you were using, whether you knew it or not, you haven't even done this course yet, Lindsay, but can I speak about, are you okay if I use the example of what you told me about your speaking, which I think is just really powerful, because it's a recent example and really strong, and there, you're going to see some of the principles that you were using, even though we didn't name it, because we've been working, we've been doing a deep dive, right? So I've got your permission to share that story about your speaking that you told me? Okay, thank you. So just one of many, many examples. Examples of why and how these principles work. So Lindsay shared with me, and Lindsay speaks on, and I hope you don't mind if I brag on you a little bit, Lindsay, those are some really big stages, like, you know, over thousands of people. And she told me the other day, as we were doing this work together, somebody came up to her after the last time that she spoke to me about on a really big stage. And she said, somebody came up to her in the audience afterwards and said, I've been following you. I've been watching you. I've attended everything you've ever done before on stage. And this was the best, right, Lindsay? This was, I've never seen that before. So beautiful. Lindsay doesn't even know it, but she was using principles from this course that she's not even taken. We've been doing a deep dive before. And so whether you're speaking on stage, whether you're speaking to a person that you've, another example from somebody who, a graduate of our group, she used to network with people and nobody would ask her about her stuff. They would never, like, I'm talking about all their stuff, but nobody ever asked her. She'd go to these networking events, wasting time, wasting money. If you've ever gone to meet people, but you're not sure what to say, or you didn't get the results that you wanted, raise your hand. Like, you're talking to people, but somehow they're not quite hearing you, not quite getting the results that you want. Yeah, thank you. A lot of hands, right? I'm seeing nods, right? So she went from that to, she said, after she learned some of the principles, it was right in this course. And she said, Michelle, like, I just went to this event and there were three other people at the table. They were all asking me for their card and they were all asking to meet with me. And how does that happen? And again, we'll learn those principles and so many more in this class. I just wanted to give you a couple of examples of some of the places where we can use our words, where it really makes a difference. And again, I'm leaping ahead to some of the material in this course, but I just want to assure you that if you want to use words to connect with people so that you can grow your mission on this planet, maybe even beyond what you've dreamed of before, then you're in the right place. And I also want to say, sometimes it's going to look like, especially if you're watching afterwards, it's looking like I'm looking down. I'm not looking at you because it looks like I'm looking at you over here. All right, so I'm not doing this for a pretty picture. I see all you guys over here. So if it looks like, how come she's not looking at me? It's because I'm looking at every one of your faces, all right? So if it's not as pretty in the recording afterwards, it's because it's live, it's real. I'm looking at each and every one of you so I can see, are you taking it in? Are you falling asleep? It's okay, right? Maybe you're just concentrating, you know, what's actually happening right here, right now on the ground. So if it doesn't look as pretty afterwards, oh well, I'm here to teach. I'm here to, and one of my teachers says too, like, if the students don't get it, it's always the teacher's fault. It's your responsibility. So it's on me. And then also, the more you participate, the more you ask questions, the more you are here and present, the more you're going to get out of this, right? So, but it helps me to take a look at you and see where you are and how you're doing. But don't think then you got to all look bright and cheery. When I was teaching university, I remember one guy, you know, like when you, all of a sudden everybody perks up because you want to look like something. It's not about that. It's okay. Just be yourself, right? One student in one of my university classes, he had his head on the desk the whole year long. And I remember thinking that, oh, you're a man. Okay, it's not his favorite class, but oh, well, it's okay. And, you know, but I'd ask a question and his hand would go up like this, you know, and I thought, okay, it's okay. He's there somewhere. It's all right. And at the end of the class, and he was, you know, he was a top student. He wrote beautifully. When he raised his hand like that, I mean, he had amazing things to say. He was always there and alerting him out, so you don't have to look any particular way. I don't want you to all of a sudden be like this, right? And at the end of the year, he came to me and he said, Michelle, because I'm not a really formal person. You probably already got that already, right? Very few people call me Dr. Gunderson unless they really wanted, you know, it was like that, if they couldn't get around it, right? But he comes up to me, he says, Michelle, I want you to know, this was my favorite course all year. And because you never know where people come from. He says, I'm not like some of the other students here. Like, there's nobody else supporting me here. And I'm taking a full load of courses and I'm working 40 hours a week too. He was exhausted. And he said, this is the only class. Like, I'm so tired. And thank you. Like, he did, you know, I put my head down and I love the class. I love what we're doing. And I just, you know, and I was all there and it was so cool. You never know. So don't think you have to look a particular way, but I'm still looking at you and still seeing, you know, are you here so that we can actually make progress and actually have things land. All right. So I want to ask you first, because I want to hear what you hear in this. The course is called Practical Applications. Get results with your words. So I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What do you even hear that's for you just in the title of the course? I thought a lot about the title of the course, like Practical Applications. Get results with your words. What do you hear right away that you go, yeah, I want that. That'll help me. Thanks. Michelle, I love your name, by the way.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
I wanted to jump in because unfortunately I have to go pretty quickly, but I think it really relates to me because, for one, I teach all the time, so I'm constantly interacting with people, and I do want to get the message across in the best way I can. So in that sense, it's really good to, you know, be effective with what I'm saying. And then the other part of it is that I've struggled to put my why into words for my business and my mission and all of that. Like, that's a really tough subject for me to, I think somewhere I know it, but it's really hard for me to put it into words. So I think those two things will be a big help for me.
Fantastic. What about the people we serve? What are our words landing? And you'll already probably notice I'm not too worried about this word or that. I trip over my words. I'm part of my background. I'm an Iyengar yoga teacher as well. And I don't teach weekly classes anymore. I use it in very different ways. And we're going to use a piece of it. We're going to start out just by, if you've done a yoga class before, we're going to start out in silence. The next column, I'll tell you why, because the words are sourced from a deeper silence. But in those yoga classes, I go, okay, use this part of your body. What's it called again? Elbow. It's so not about what people think it's about, right? So sometimes we can trip over our words. Sometimes we might get the right words. It's so not about those things. Can be highly effective. So how do we find those effective words when we're teaching? You know, how do we get those words across, right? And I remember, it was hard for me to leave. So thank you for that, Michelle. It's beautiful. I remember when I used to teach university and I was so honored when the students nominated me for a teaching award. They came to me sometimes they'd come to me years later and say, Michelle, that was the best course I took in 4 years of university. I'm so grateful to you. They'd come up, I'd be like, at my years later, I left in 2007 to do this work instead, right? They'd come up to me, my daughter's playing soccer on the field and somebody I hadn't seen in years, I'm going, all right, okay, that course, right? You know what I mean? That course changed my life and I was so honored by that. And again, it's like, how do you find the words that will actually land in people so they get the transformation that you want? And so, you know, super honored when they did that. Then I thought, and this is getting ahead a little bit with the content, but then I thought, great, well, come out here, work with entrepreneurs, it'll be really easy, right? But there's a key component, because no, you know, hung my shingle out at first, right? Nobody came at first. Like, oh my goodness, what do we do out here? So I had to learn, and it's one of the things, principles I teach now, that's about the genre, right? We'll learn about that today. Like, I had to learn, well, how do words work here in this arena, And when we have that combination, when we understand how words work at the root, and then we know this particular arena, it's getting ahead a little bit, it's connected with the first principle I teach you, there's a couple other pieces as well, then magic can happen. So thank you for that, Michelle. It's about teaching, actually doing the service that we want, and having people be able to hear, right? So I'm watching you guys, like there's people are nodding. I know like this is landing, fantastic, great. And it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not get it perfect, but how do we find those, not picture for perfect words, but the words that land. So thank you for that. And then my mission, if I don't know what it is that I'm doing, I can't put into words, how are people going to hear me? And sometimes it's simpler than we think too. And I'm going to teach you a principle today already that will help get the stuff out of the way so people can hear you better, right? How do we even introduce ourselves when we meet somebody? And we'll start that today. We'll continue that over the next couple of calls. But thank you for that, Michelle. You're in the right place. Fantastic. So love what you heard in that. Practical applications, get results with your words. Yes, yes, and yes. And no problem if you need to leave early again. That's why the recordings are there for you. So great. I'm so glad you spoke up and so glad you're here. Let's hear from one more of you, at least one more of you. So practical applications, get results. Jasmine, thank you. Go ahead.
So for me, I really think about the difference between the way that I'm persuasive and interact with people when I'm able to speak and use my hands and gesticulate and, you know, be more natural. And it just brings out a different set of words and a different way of communicating in me that tends to resonate. And now that I'm in the world of online entrepreneurship, there's so much more communication that happens before my clients or the people that I want to help even encounter a first live audio recording of me, much less, you know, get the experience of working with me live. And so I really want to think about how to get results with all of my words, even when it doesn't have, you know, my tone and gesticulation and the nuances of the way that I communicate. How do I resonate just as much in that different type of genre of using my words?
Yes, fantastic. So Michelle's comment was pointing to the first principle I'm going to teach you today, and Jasmine's comment is pointing to the second principle I'm going to teach you today. So I'm so glad to hear, like, we're on the right track, and I love what you're hearing just in the title. And that's about, you know, what do I do when, what's the difference between here where I get to use my hands and so on and the online world, very different. And this is where a lot of people leak a lot of money and time and energy and start in all the wrong places. And then they don't know why the words aren't landing and they get discouraged. And how about doing it the easy way? So thank you for this. Yes, how are those different genres, those different places where we use our words, and where do we start and how do we translate from the one to the other? And we're going to be learning that in this course, absolutely. So thank you, Jasmine. Beautiful. Let's hear just one more, real quick. What do you hear for you and your company or the work that you do? And by the way, if I say your company, you go, I don't have a company, I just help people, right? Don't think, well, that doesn't apply to me because I don't have a company. I just, you know, teach people how to write, you know, how to write. I just teach people with copyright, but I don't have a company. I just have a business, or I just teach, or whatever language you use, please translate for yourself. Not, does this apply to me? I don't know if this applies to me. She's talking about a company. I don't have that, right? Or whatever it is in the language I'm using. Don't ask, does this apply? Ask, how does this apply to me? And that alone will change everything. I might not call it a company, I'd call it the work that I do. I might not call it the work that I do, I call it my business, whatever it is. Translate for yourself, and I promise that when you do that, everyone, if you're listening to my voice, what we're doing here applies to you and the work that you're doing to get your mission out in the world, right? So one more, practical applications, get results with your words. What do you hear? Real quick, let's hear one more. Yeah, Jackie, thank you.
Yeah, hi. It was simple and direct. And that's what I liked about it. That mm-hmm. and it wasn't a lot of fluff words or anything. It was just very simple and direct.
And this is something that I'm going to be teaching you about today as well. How does that happen? Right. And what do we do that often gets in the way of that? So often we think it's got to be so highfalutin and complex. And when I was teaching at the university, sometimes even, but entrepreneurs fall into that as well. And again, whether you own that word entrepreneur or not, we go, I'm not an entrepreneur. I do X. Well, whatever the X is, just substitute for yourself. We think it's like we start getting all convoluted, and it's actually coming back to some things that we knew as kids. We talk about that today, and then we forget. We just got to re-remember, and our words become so much more effective. That's really, really important. So thank you for pointing that out. And sometimes it takes some work to get back to that, and some work to find simplicity. And you're going to, I think then you'll love one of the examples I'm going to give about when we meet people, what do we do and what do we say and how do we keep it simple? We're going to get to that again today. So, okay, awesome. Thank you. I love what you're hearing in the title. It's completely the direction that we're going in this course. I love that you've heard it. That tells me that the title itself is effective because people should know what it is, even just from your title, right? So what I want to do is take a quick, what I want to do right now, is take a quick glance through. Let me see, I'm going to share my screen just so you have some idea. And I'm sorry, we didn't update the date for this on the title. We have the date from the last time we taught this course, but I didn't tell my team I was going to share this. They didn't bother updating it because we didn't need it for anything. Let me just share, because I want to show you something about how the modules are organized, what we're actually going to be doing. And so, this is, and if you want to go find this, if you ever want to refer to this, it's at michellegunderson.com, 1L and Michelle, / practical applications, all right? Great ideas, burning desire to get them out there. How do you inspire, influence, impact the people around you? We've been talking about this. How do you choose and use the words that get results? Unlock your natural, authentic voice, none of this power over stuff. How do you captivate people with your words, attract clients and referrals and so on? You guys can go through this on your own. The piece that I wanted to get to is the different modules. So today, actually, we're going to get to the beginning part of module one. What are the four principles of persuasion? I'm going to teach you a really easy story that you can remember that will always remind you of the core principles that most people actually miss. And when we can get to these simple principles, it makes a huge, huge difference. And one of the things I want to say too, some of you are, you know, this is our first work that we're ever doing together. Some of you, we've worked together before, but this is your first time with practical applications. Some of you have taken this course. This is the fourth time that I've taught this course. Some of you have taken it once before, twice before, three times before. So if wherever you remember that there's different levels of experience in this class, and also if you have taken this course before, the last time I did it was just this summer. Some of you might have just done this recently. So fantastic, because you're going to be able to up-level what you've done. Instead of encountering it for the first time, you're going to be able to ask nuanced questions about how this applies in this particular area with what I'm doing now, because what I learned before. So I gave the example of Lindsay. Now that she's doing that on stage, what's next for her, right? And she hasn't even done this course before, right? But we've done a lot of close-up work. So look for the nuance. And for those who've taken it before too, watch, because the course develops. So if you're interested, some of you in the previous course asked about course development and curriculum. Well, you can watch this course develop. This is similar to, but not the same as the last time I taught it. I'm not the same person. And also take advantage of this, because we are not going to be teaching this again for another year. We taught it just this summer, but we're not doing this again for another year. So take advantage of every single piece. So module one, four principles of persuasion. What's the foundation so that everywhere I go, I know what will create influence and impact, right? Module two. And again, you guys can go through this on your own. And we're not always going to go call by call on these. Sometimes we may take a couple calls on one module. Sometimes we might do a couple modules in one call. It's just going to depend at the pace we go. There's definitely time to get to everything here, but we'll dive in deeper depending on what your questions are and so on. You don't need to ask questions about that particular module. Ask questions about what you need, right? Whatever's going on in your business, whatever it is, it has to do with words, ask it. And I promise it will be relevant to others as well. Don't try to make it relevant to others. Just ask your questions. So module two, how to establish immediate influence and authority. What are the networking personalities to avoid? And the last time I taught this course at the end of that segment, one woman went, oh my goodness. And she's been networking for years and she's done some really high level work and is training people before. And she's like, that's why it's not working. I've been doing this one. I didn't know. Because we don't know how we're actually showing up and how those connect to those principles of persuasion as well, right? So, and again, this was key to the student that I told you about where nobody was asking her. And the next meeting, she was like, three people were all asking for a card, asking her to meet with her. How does that happen? And it's not in the ways that we usually think. Module three, so from connecting with people when we first meet them. These are different components of the work that we do. If we're working, I took a long time to think about what are the key places. We use words everywhere in our companies, but one of the things this course does is tells you, these are some of the key places where I want to use my words. So that's an implicit part of what we're learning. It took me a long time when I first taught this course. I was like, man, I want to teach you guys everything. Where are the key places, right? And then if there's another place that you want to ask about, ask questions about every other place. I got to the most important components to build a business I could think of, right? So module three, 10 keys to make $10,000 and more from speaking, even when you can't sell. So this happens to me all the time. This has happened to my students as well. It's the last talk that I did, you can make 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000. Last talk was, you know, far exceeded that, where it's a 20-minute talk and you can't even sell anything. How does that happen? And you can go, if you've never spoken in front of an audience before, the principles are so simple. And again, even really experienced speakers usually miss it. So you will know so much more than even some really experienced speakers know. I've seen some huge mistakes from stage, and mistakes, it's not like, oh, this word or that, but just really misunderstanding what the point of the talk is, even from experienced speakers. So how do we do that? How do we have people engage in our work? And even if it's just a short talk, and I'll show you the actual talk that I've used for many, many years. I'll give you my storyboard and show you the outline of it and how it works to create tons of people who can, and not just tons, but all the right people, leaping into to do the work with you. Module four, five powerful words to make sales easy. We're going to do so much more than those five powerful words, but a lot of people are afraid of sales. They find sales difficult. I love what I do, but I hate the sales part. How do I get to that? Whether you're that person or you go, wow, I actually really love sales, but I'm having trouble because I know that, you know, this many people are coming to me, but that many more people could come. I'll teach you those five powerful words and so much more. And I'm like, I'll give you one clue to it too. Like, I don't need to sell anything anymore. I don't have to sell anything. It's really all about the story, but it's not about my story. It's about the other person's story and actually having some really deep listening skills that allow us to find all the right people that we're meant to serve and in the way that we're meant to serve them and in conversations that are fun and energizing and effective. Module five, words to magnetize your ideal client. Now, a lot of people put this right up front. And how many of you, I can't see all of you, so those that I can see while I'm doing this part, those I can happen to see your hands are going to have to stand for the other people, but I'll just assume that it's representative. So how many of you have heard of something like your client avatar or your ideal client or demographics, psychographics, or something like that? How many of you have heard some of those words before? Yeah. So like all the hands are up that I can see. All right. So, and often that's right up front. Like, let me figure out who that saboteur is. And it's not that that's wrong, but sometimes what ends up happening, I've seen this so often in the industry, we end up playing with this on paper and doing it, you know, like, is it that? And is it this? And let me write it all down. And then let me write out the formula for what I'm going to do. And let me plan this course that I'm going to do. And let me plan it for, I've sometimes met networking with people and they're planning it. And I see them 3 years later and they're still planning the same course. And they're still writing out who that ideal person is that they still have never even met. Not really. We've met one or two of them, but they don't know how to talk to them. Or if that resonates with you, either for yourself or people that you've seen before, if one piece of that even resonates, raise your hand. That, you know, maybe you've played with that, but how do you actually make it effective? So we don't put that right up front, because I want you just on the court, using your words, chatting with people, and that will fall out of the work that we did prior. So it's not in the order that people usually put it in, but by the time we've done this other work, that will make a lot more sense. And how do you find people? They're often sitting right in front of you, but you can't see them. That happened with one of my clients. She's like, well, you know, 6 months down the road, I'm going to find that person. And, you know, it was in a training I was doing the next, she found her first high ticket client the very next day. So she's making all these plans for 6 months down the road. The very next day that person came. It can be so much more easier, so much more fun when you have the words to say it, and when you can understand the words that are inside that person. What is it that they're saying, that they're not even saying, but that they're feeling, the words inside their head. So words to magnetize your ideal client, module 6. And here Jasmine was talking about this earlier, converting online, the key mistakes to avoid in your copy if you want people to hear you. And if you were in this course last time, pay attention this time too, because I'm learning this stuff too. I don't claim to be to have this down. I am learning too, right alongside with you. I'm like next level, next level, next level, and I'll show you some mistakes in my own copy. And some of the things that we're adjusting, and it's not just at the level of words, it's at the level of what's happening inside me that's landing on the page that I don't even know it's happening. How do I access that thing and then find the words to say it that will truly make a difference? And when we're doing it online, it's got to come from a different place first. Then we learn how to work online and in ways that people can actually hear. And we don't need to be able to see people to be able to have an impact, to be able to have influence, but we have to know how and where to build it first in order to have impact. Module 7, taking your influence to the next level. One of the reasons that I added this module is that, man, there's all these other places where we need words. These are some of the key ones. When we don't have these key components, and if you think, well, I'm not a speaker. Well, do you ever have two people in your living room where you're chatting with them about your work? You just spoke to them, right? You're a speaker in front of an audience of two, right? So not does this apply, or if you're speaking like Lindsay to, you know, crowds of over 1,000 people or anything in between, right? You're then a speaker, right? So all these pieces are so important, but there's other places. What about your team? What about that story inside you? What about your bio? What about media interviews, email campaigns, joint venture partners, and so on? All the other places. And when we've talked about those key areas, we will understand so much better how to use those words in other places. And if you go, well, I don't have a team, it's just me, for example, well, we all have teams, even if it's when I started my company and it was my daughter piecing together handouts and putting them in a folder for me. And if we don't have a team behind us, we can't grow what we're doing, even if it's starting at that level or volunteers. And how do we find people who will do that? Again, that's part of how we use our words and have people engaged in our mission and willing and wanting to help us out. When I was in Thailand, I was working with some, even the participants who were there at this event, they've built amazing companies. They've done some amazing work. But a bunch of them, when I talked to them about my team, they're like, I was telling them, for instance, about my assistant, Amy. And as I was telling them about what she does for this company, they're going like, can I hire her? Will you put me in touch? So many people ask that. I have a team that is outstanding. I've had people on my team, my assistant, Emily, she's like, they work so hard for this company. I have to slow them down. Emily, I hope she doesn't mind that I tell on her here. So I think I can stop sharing sharing this page now so I can see you guys better. So some of the places we're going to go to in this course together. Emily on my team, she's like, Michelle, I'm on the way to the hospital for herself. And I'm getting this thing done for you. Now, I am not asking her to do that. I am not that kind. I'm not a taskmaster with my people. I don't need to be. And my task for them is to go, Emily, please stop that and take care of yourself. Don't worry. That can be done a different day. The way that the people show up, some of you were at my event called 3-day event called Story Freedom in September. And we had seven people on the team at that event, and everybody on the team said, this is an outstanding team. I don't know, how did you gather this team? I've never seen a team work like this before. It's been outstanding. And how do you form teams like that? Many of those people, they're there on their own time, on their own dime, and these are people who do outstanding work in their own right. You know, one of them, you would know her name. She's spoken for Dr. Oz and CTV and NBC and like every channel that you can think of. She's a well-known speaker and influencer, and she was just there in service on the team. Just showing up because. So how do you end up that whole, you know, how do you end up with people behind you so you can grow your mission out in the world? All that requires words that then form stories as well, that and all of that requires a different level of listening to words, and all of that is involved in practical applications, getting results with our words so we can get our mission out there. So that is what we're going to be focused on in this series. And what I want to do is ask you briefly, again, so much I want to share just in this opening time together, but I want to turn to you once again and ask you, so those are some of the places that I know of where we can use our words and get, you know, practical advice right away so we become so much, you know, exponentially more effective and quickly. I want to ask you now, I'd like to hear from one or two or three of you, you know, and just in a sentence or two, right? Because again, so much more that I want to share with you, but I really want to hear from you. What do you want to get out of this course? And I don't even like those words, get out of it. That sounds like, man, I got to grab stuff. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to miss out. Already, that's a different energy than I'd like to say. So instead of, what do you want to get out of this course? What do you want to experience? What do you want to know? What do you want to, how do you want to grow? How do you want to gain? It's listening to the nuance of words, right? So, you know, where do you want to get results with your words, and why? Why does this matter to you? So in a couple of sentences, one or two or three sentences, what matters to you? I want to hear from you. Let's hear from a couple of you who would like to go first. Why are you here? Told you some of the reasons for me around this course, right? And please tell me more in the survey, but I want to hear from you right here, right now. What are you excited about? What do you want to learn? Why are you here? Yeah, Lindsay, go ahead.
So I think for me, the biggest part of it is, so growth, right? This is where growth happens. Like 6 months ago, I was stuck or felt stuck. And I kept thinking, okay, there's something I've got to fix. And then I realized that I really don't need to fix anything. I just need to focus on where my strengths already lie. And since speaking is what I do from stage, that's where I'm choosing to continue to grow myself. So I think it'll be huge for me, just making sure that my words are getting across how I want them to.
Fantastic. Growth, knowing that I'm not stuck, even those words themselves, it's the words we tell ourselves as well. You get that, right? So words inside us. And if the words inside us don't match the words that we're speaking, nobody's going to hear us. It's a really key component of this company and of the way that I teach. And because, you know, two people can say the same thing. Nobody's listening to this person. Everybody's listening to this person. What's the difference? So it's not just the surface of the words. So Lindsay's getting to a really important point here. It's like, I'm stuck. What I got to fix? Asking that question, what I got to fix if something is wrong? Because I'm continuing to find something is wrong. How can I start from a different place, but without just lying to myself? Everything's fine. That doesn't get us anywhere either. What are the words that I say to myself even to start that will change those words that I say from stage? And I love, Lindsay, that you've got this focus. Is like, I know a key component for my company is speaking from stage. And so what's cool for you in this course is everything that leads up to that. And both, you know, when I first meet people, if I'm meeting them one-on-one and then I move that to the stage, how can I learn from what I, you know, that speaking just informally one-on-one to people and networking, for instance, how can I learn from that? But also, how is it different from that as I move to stage? And that's one of the things we're going to be learning as we go sequentially in this course. So fantastic. You're in the right place. And this is great to have that focus. Thank you, Lindsay. Steve, I see you. You're next. Yes.
Yeah. For me, because I'm moving my business in several different directions at once, but all of them are connected with obviously the words that I both say and write and how I'm trying to, you know, get people to sort of dip their toe in the water and then move to a larger and larger engagement. And how do I make that seem natural and not threatening?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
My work tries to turn people's worlds upside down with the way they approach what they do. And that can be frightening. And mm-hmm, yet, mm-hmm. And many of them say, oh, but I don't have time to do that. And of course, time is the thing that I'm trying to help them figure out what to do with.
Right.
So all of these things, both, you know, going for more speaking opportunities, yes, but also an awful lot of, you know, I'm now blogging and sharing things on LinkedIn. Like, my schedule is like 9 times a week I'm posting on LinkedIn, and making sure that those, all of that stuff resonates and leads to interesting conversations, which again potentially could lead to customer engagement and.
Yes. Fantastic.
So much going on.
Yes. I love it. And so how do I, one of the things I heard in your words, Steve, is how do I find the, is this correct? How do I find the words to help people move past their fear? Because as they encounter this, it turns their world upside down. And how do I encourage them to keep going forward? Was that part of what you were saying here? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, or even to get started.
Even to get started,
recognize, yes. To recognize that they have to take the time to make the time.
Right, got it. And so, and speaking, yes, but Steve has a different focus than Lindsay. Fantastic. And all that we're going to cover here, we're going to get to. And Steve, because and Barb, you're up next, but Steve, is it okay? And if you're new here, well, depending on what your energy is, I still could ask you, but the answer no is always okay. Sometimes you're going to hear me say, can I play? Can we play with those words a little bit? And the answer no, I promise you, is always okay. You own your experience. And what that does is it gives other people permission to go, no, I'm not ready yet, or not at this moment, or I'm feeling a little shy, I don't know. All right, no is fine, all right? But Steve and I, it's not our first rodeo. Steve, can we play a little bit with the words that, because I know that this is one of your areas that, thank you, okay. So, because it's a beautiful teaching example for everyone here about how words work in subtle ways, and that it's not just the formulas, it's not just, there's something deeper than just like, can I fill in a script and fill in the blanks? And they're working, they're coming from right deep inside us, and just sometimes a small shift can make a tremendous difference. Like if you don't think that you've got a business, but you work with people and you can translate to that, then all of a sudden you can start to hear. Right? So, Steve, right at the beginning, you said something that's really interesting. Did anybody else catch it? Very first sentence, I think it was, out of your mouth. And part of it is listening skill. Last chapter of my PhD dissertation was called Listening Differently. Because we need to be able to listen if we're going to be able to find the words to hear it. Did any of you catch it? It was very interesting and very impactful for Steve. Did you catch it? Okay, so here it is, and you can go back and listen to the recording. You go, oh yeah, right. So Steve said, do you know what it is, Steve? Do you know which piece I'm going to pull up?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so here it is. Steve said right at the beginning, he says, I am moving my business in several directions at once. Do you remember him saying that? Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting too that, you know, why do I work with stories, you know, because, well, you know, and creating empowering stories, well, have I had some disempowering stories sometimes? Yes, you know, like sometimes we teach most what we teach what we best need to learn and remember ourselves. How does it feel when you hear somebody saying, well, I'm moving in several directions at once? What is that, if you want to put some emotion words to it, look at Jasmine's face. Jasmine, talk to, is that okay if I ask Jasmine, Steve? Because I think you're already sure. Hearing it, but I want you to really get this.
It feels frantic. It feels unorganized. It feels.
Thank you, Jasmine. Got it? Got it? and Teresa's gone like this.
Yes,
and
Teresa, isn't that interesting? Yes.
Because it's the opposite of what Steve works with. It's like time management and organizing things and productivity, and right? But if Steve is coming from that foundation, my business is moving in several directions at once, but I want people to tackle their fear around this new thing that they're going to do, Steve is already working against himself accidentally at a subtle level. Steve, are you able to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that cool? right? If you just heard that, this is life-changing for Steve's company. When he's got ears here, and for your company probably too. Have I done this too? Of course I have. That's why I can hear it. So, and also trained as a trained listener, right? So, and I don't want Steve to say, well, I'm really moving my company just in one direction. That would just be, that's not true. So it's not saying a falsehood, right? But what instead can we say? It's a subtle shift in the words often that will make all the difference in the world. And it might be.
How about I have several new initiatives for my company?
Aha. Version one, version two. My company's moving in several directions at once. Do you want to come work with me? And he might not be saying those words, but that feeling is inside him. And then they're going, I'm afraid. And he's wondering why that's happening. How do we get them through that? So version one, my company's moving in several different directions at once. Version two, say it again, Steve.
I have several new initiatives for my company.
Okay, let's say we've got two versions of Steve there, and you are going to get a chance to work with him, okay? Like in whatever capacity. There's somebody like Steve, let's say you need his work. How many of you are going to work with Steve one? Hands up. Steve one or Steve? How many of you are going to work instead with Steve two? Hands up. Words matter. They okay. Come from a deep place.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. You're so welcome. Thank you for that, Steve. Okay, so practical applications, get results with your words, and it's often not in the place where we think. Huge, huge difference for Steve's company in that one switch. I'm so excited that you're here. So excited for our work together. We're going to take it so much deeper than that. We're just beginning. Barb, you're up. So why are you here? What do you want to get out of the course? Or what do you want to experience? What wisdom do you want to gain? Where do you want to get results with your words?
I want to help people understand that copyright applies to them in their daily lives. It's not just high-powered authors or musicians, that copyright matters.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And I love the way you said that. Have you, you know, are some of you, like, who are you and what have you done with Barb, if you've known Barb from before? The clarity with, right? It's true, right? If you've known her before, the clarity with which you said that, you just landed with that. And please ask me, I posted that for you. Ask me, because I've got some pieces that you need to know that I just learned from Sandra Yancey. I was in Thailand with an amazing teacher. I'm always a teacher and a student. And I bring back things that I learned from other teachers. I've worked with some of the best teachers on the planet, and you've got to post the question, Barb. Okay. And then it's going to apply to everybody. So post the question about what else about copyright should I know that I'm missing, Michelle? And it's going to be important for everybody on this call. You need to post the question. So fantastic. I love it. You're in the right place. All right. Anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Anything burning to be said? Because sometimes that'll pull our energy over here and then we can't go forward. Like there's like our cup is already full. We can't move on to the next thing. Anything else? Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. So, I said that we'd talk about the three foundations for the course. What is influence? What is persuasion? What's out there that doesn't work? You know, why battlegrounds, formulas don't work. So I think where I want to start is what doesn't work. So there's a wonderful book, and I even recommend it. It's called The Psychology of Persuasion. Robert Cialdini, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right? And how many of you know that book? How many of you have read it or seen it or read part of it? Okay, awesome. So, and again, super book, great helpful tips, and a really one example of an important book in the field of persuasion, influence, right? And but there's something funny about it. So you can go and find the benefits of that book. He's got a lot of important things to say. He's got, you know, decades of research and study in the area. But just like I was listening to Steve at a level that, you know, nobody put up their hand and said, I heard that one piece is pulling in the opposite direction for Steve, because it's a training of listening to what's happening when we don't even know what's happening. When I read Robert Cialdini, I'm listening like I was listening to Steve, okay? And what's interesting is if you go and read that book, and maybe you've read it before, go back and read it. It's so interesting to see how he posits persuasion as a battleground. And I had it nearby. Let me see if I've got some of the words. You can go find them on the page. If you read even just the opening statements, it's like he says, there are weapons of automatic influence. It's like, military language, right? And you need to defend you, this is a direct quote, defend yourself against skilled persuaders. And here's another direct quote. We are vulnerable to people who prey on us, right? So it's both about how can you use these persuasive techniques, and man, these persuasive techniques are a battleground, and you better guard against it, because otherwise you're going to be I can't remember if he uses the word sucker, but that's almost like I have been so much in my life, and that's why I wanted to study this, because there's people out there who are going to, so you better take control of these weapons. Now, I think you can even go a long ways with that. You can learn tons of stuff from that. You can build things. It's, you know, he's a really smart man with a lot of really great things to say. But I'm kind of, it's a loaded argument right now. Like it's strongly influenced by my perspective around it. So you can pretty well guess what it is I think is the issue with that. What do you think is the issue? Why would I say, let's start from a different place around persuasion and influence? What are you hearing when I say those words? What might be catching there? What might be the problem if we're trying to build a company and we're starting from that place around persuasion and influence? Anne, thank you. Oh, and Anne, you are muted.
That it just felt forced.
Yes, thank you. That's how it feels to me. Yeah, thank you. Steve, go ahead.
It's adversarial.
Adversarial, yes, thank you. Forced, adversarial. Me, us against them. Jasmine, go ahead.
It feels like you're coming from a place of scarcity, and that you have to somehow with your words almost trick someone into, buying into what you have instead of presenting what you have in a way that makes people want what you have.
Right. It's forced. It's adversarial. It's a scarce world, and I better make sure, and I'm defended, and I got to trick people. And like, if that's what you came for, you're in the wrong place. I don't know how to teach you that, right? Jackie, go ahead.
Yeah, it was almost confrontational.
Yeah. Yeah, confrontational. And I don't know about you, but I find it really hard to build a company from that place. It doesn't fit my energy. It doesn't fit the way I see the world. It doesn't fit how I think that, the world is, to me, the world is just, what if we could create a world that's win, win, win? What if it's not a battleground? What if instead that as, the reason that I want influence is because there's something arising up in another human being that I can help them tap into that will uplift them to be all who they can be in the world. Make sense? So when I have that as a foundation for my company, instead of scarcity, instead of like, it's going to win or lose, and I'm going to fight over it. So don't get me wrong. You can read his book and learn some really important techniques. One thing I remember reading that book that was kind of interesting is like, well, if we have a reason for something, and of course, then people will tend to do things more, right? So, and he has this funny story about going up to a photocopy machine. And he says like, if you go, can I please cut in line to make these photocopies? People will say no. But if you say, can I please cut in line to make these photocopies because I'm in a real rush, people will say yes. Well, it's good to know that. That's helpful. Right? She has some helpful techniques. Right? And then he finds, you can say, can I cut in line to make these copies because I really need to make these copies? People will still tend to say yes more. Just because you said because something, even though the because was nonsense and just repeated what was before. So he gives you some fine techniques that make a difference. But on the groundwork of what seems to me to be have picked up a larger story in our world that it's a you hear it on the call, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and we got to compete to survive, and you better beat out the competition, because if you don't have the right words that will beat out the competition, you're going to lose, you're going to fall behind, you're going to get run. And it's not my come from place. I don't know how to build that company. And I remember one of my teachers talking about it and said, co-opetition. I don't even think about it quite like that, but instead of competition, co-opetition. And others of my teachers is like, you're what we have called competition. They're actually your best, not your adversaries. They're your best joint venture partners. They're your best people to turn to. You can grow your companies together. So what if we created the world on that foundation? And what if we created our world on that foundation, our words, our companies, our worlds on that foundation? Thank you for the double thumbs up, Steve. So it's, when I say it doesn't work, it doesn't mean you can't go a certain place, but I don't even want that life. Do you understand? If you're understanding what I'm saying and that makes sense to you, raise your hand. I might even be able to build a really big company and I just, it's not the company that I want. So either it doesn't work or it only gets us so far. A battleground, right? Another thing that I find, it just doesn't work, or a lot of people, it's like, well, Michelle, give me the fill in the blank. Here's the form. If I just go say this, and how many of you have heard of your 30-second elevator pitch, right? You go and speak to people, and you better be able to say it. And I'm not saying that that stuff's not valuable. And go ahead and learn that. If you learn that from another mentor, I'm sure it's great stuff. Go ahead and use it. It's wonderful. But I'm like, what we're doing is we're doing this much around words when there's this much. We're just barely scratching the surface. And so if you want some formulas from me, if you want some fill in the blanks, I can certainly give them to you, no problem. But again, what you're going to be learning then is this, instead of really understanding the bedrock and understanding this. Because let's say I have that 30-second elevator pitch, I go meet somebody and I say, blah. And then they ask me a question, and I don't know what to say next because I haven't learned that, because you can't learn the script for all your life. What do you say next? I don't know. Nobody told me that script. And then what are you going to do, script? And then if they say this, and it's, you know, if you've ever been on one of those sales calls by people who are not very well trained, and they go, hi, how's your day today? And you know that they're reading from a script, and they're like, if they say this, say this. If they say this, say this. How many of you have been on one of those calls before, and you just go like, I just want out of this conversation. Please raise your hand. And it's like well-meaning people, they're probably low-paying jobs, and okay, you get what I'm saying. So those scripts get us to that. And sometimes we can even have a script with more finesse, you know, or a formula with more finesse, but we still don't know. Then people say, you're having a networking event or you're meeting somebody, and then they say, how's your dog? And you don't know what to say, right? Instead, can we understand the root, understand how words work, and let go of the formulas, let go of the fill in the blank. And the fill in the blanks too, if there's kind of battleground behind what I hear in Robert Cialdini, there's fear. And Jasmine pointed out scarcity behind, I better have a formula because otherwise I'm going to say something wrong. And I was at a training event this summer where one of my teachers was telling us to do this formula and telling everybody, once you have this formula, don't ever change it. And then the practice at that event was to go around and make sure you never ever change it and go say it 20 times. And I love this mentor, but I'm like, man, that doesn't work for me. And we were doing this around the table. And I could tell that nobody was listening to anybody. Everybody did their blah. Nobody could hear anything. And then afterwards they said, well, what I was trying to say was this. And that's when they said something that mattered. And so I was helping around the table and saying, I can't help it. I'm like, just say that thing that you said afterwards, say that. Something like that. Because then they're being real. They're coming from a real conversation, right? So some things that don't work, you know. And so what is influence? It's not, you know, what is persuasion? It's not power over. I already taught you about that, but I just want to emphasize, we've talked about that. It's not power over. It's not a battleground. Instead, it's like, how can we learn to make it win-win-win? How can we help to find the best in other people and help them to find that in them so that they step up? And, you know, whatever work that you do in the world, there's something you're helping people solve their problems. You're helping people remove their pain or find that next level inside themselves. And how can we help them when it's the right person in front of us, find that inside them, like Steve was talking about, get past that fear, find that so they can step up and grow themselves and who they are in the world. And that's a fun playing ground for me. That's where it's at. And that's what influence is about too. When we say something and people actually take action because of what we say in order to uplift. And if you like that definition, if that resonates for you and your company, how you want to be in the world, raise your hand. I just want to see if we're, you know, we're here to uplift. We're here to help that person. Yeah. Okay. A lot of hands raised. Thanks. Okay. So, if that's what doesn't work, actually before, let me just pause again. Because I want to make sure there's nothing like, Michelle, I didn't understand a piece, or there's something bursting that I want to say from something you said. Because anyway, again, that takes us our energy over here, and then we can't, then we're too full, and we can't hear the next piece. So much I want to share with you. So anything bubbling up, bursting to be said. without which we can't go forward. Okay, so I wanted to then just tell you a little story, and it's a very simple story, but it tells you it is the foundation of these four principles of persuasion, right? So this happened, and it happens regularly. I have a daughter. You're going to hear about her because I love her to bits. You know, she's my big why. She's a huge part of my big why in the world. She's 20 years old, and I adore her. Her name is Dana. And this happens regularly in our lives, but it just so happened that one day last summer, it happened like it often does, but I stopped and thought about it. And what happened was, I think I was in my room, and I just wanted her to get up and look at something. That's all. Now, my daughter and I were really close. We're closer than any other mother and daughter, you know, mother of a 20-year-old daughter that I know. We're very close. I adore her. We get along really well. But I just wanted her to see something. And she got up, got out of the living room, came over to my room. I don't even remember what I wanted her to see. Now, the thing is, she works really hard. She's she's now in third year neuroscience. It's a really tough program. She'd had a long day. I knew that there was no way she wanted to get out of her chair. Zero chance. But she got up, crossed the room, and went to my room to see the thing anyway. Now that's influence when you think about it, right? She took action. And you say, well, yes, your daughter. But why did it happen? Because why it happened there is why it happens elsewhere. And when we can understand that, we are the key to so much about influence, about persuasion, about using our words. So tell me, why do you think she got up? You tell me. Because I bet you know these principles, a lot of them. Not all of them, maybe, but it's four keys. Why did she get up? Why would she get up? You don't know her, but you can guess. Yeah, Jackie, go ahead.
I'm just going to guess respect.
Respect, cool, okay. Yeah, it's not the words on the page, but it's one of the words that I'm going to teach you about. The very first one is related to that, I would say. It's connected to that. Yeah, what else? Anything else? Yeah, Jasmine, go ahead.
That relationship you were describing and the trust that comes from having built that.
There's the foundation. Yeah, and respect comes in there, but broader than respect. Like, we respect people that, I guess, do we have to have a relationship with somebody to respect someone? Not necessarily, but if we have a relationship with somebody and it's a true and deep relationship, there's respect there. Do you get it? That to me, that relationship part goes kind of deeper and broader. If we have that, the respect will be there if it's a true and deep relationship. Am I right? Yeah. What else? Anything else you see in that? That's Jasmine. That's the foundation. Anything else you see in that? Why? Because, yeah, go ahead, Anne.
Compassion.
Sorry?
Compassion.
Compassion. I love that. Thank you. Compassion. Yeah, that's related to my second point. Yeah. What that's related to the four. Okay, so let me tell you, these are great that you've got it. And I wanted you to think about this a little bit first, because I want you to understand, if I can find the words to say it, why understanding this moment is so important and how it holds the key to influence everywhere else. If we understand why that happened, it happens elsewhere as well. So what are those four principles of persuasion? How do we keep it real? And the acronym is REAL, because it's about real relationships. It's about real words. It's not about all this fluff. It's not about all this extra stuff, right? So let me tell you what the words are, and then let me explain to you like why this is so important. So first one, Jasmine hit head on, and relationship is going to come underneath that, right, what Jackie said. So the first one, relationship. Second word is related to what Anne said. The E in real is empathy. The third principle of persuasion, add, now I fudged it a little bit so I could make it the acronym REAL so you could remember it. Add word skill. Number four, the L stands for learn the genre. Learn the genre. Relationship, empathy, add word skill, learn the genre. So first off, I have a relationship with her. But what I want to tell you is you can build that very quickly, and I'm going to give you the building blocks in today's call and the next call, so that can happen very quickly. But the relationship was key there, wasn't it? It wasn't some stranger asking her, and we can become that non-stranger quickly. I was asking her. It wasn't somebody else, and we have a strong and lasting relationship. We can build that quickly with people. Empathy. Even if we always empathy, if she thought, even though we've got that long-standing relationship, that I had no idea how she felt in the moment, she would not come. If in my energy she thought I thought it was easy or it's no big deal, do you get it? My then 19-year-old daughter would have balked. Hey, come over here, because of course you will come over here. There's an assumption on my part. No understanding that she's tired. She doesn't want to get up, right? I knew that that's how she felt, and that mattered to her. It's not just our long-standing relationship. It's empathy in the moment. We have to be attuned in the moment. It's some things we're going to learn through this this practical application series will teach us that. 3, add word skill. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, Steve, ask your question. Or comment.
I'm assuming that the empathy was a part of the way in which you made the request, not necessarily in her response. Is that correct?
Thank you. So you're coming up to the next piece of it, which is add word skill. So you're exactly headed where I'm going. Thank you, Steve. So then, which means we're right on track. So when you add word skill, one of the things that I didn't do, I knew she was tired. I knew she didn't want to move. I didn't say, hey, Dana, come over here because blah, 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 blah. She would have gone to sleep. In that case, word skill was very simple words. I just said, hey, Dana, would you come over here just for a sec? It was something, I don't remember my exact words. Do you get it? It's not about even those exact words. It's the energy I used. That was word skill. I used very few words, and you can see how the word skill and the empathy are connected in this case, right? If I'd given her a whole dissertation about why it's important and why it matters, it would have been all about me. Why I think that matters has nothing to do with her. That's about audience. We'll learn that a different day, right? Audience and purpose. But today, for today, relationship, empathy, add word skill. Hey, Dana, would you just come for a sec? And it's all in my energy. The way that I'm saying that, she knows that I understand how she's feeling in that moment. Add word skill. And then 4, learn the genre. I have to know what kind of speaking situation I'm in. Let me give you a very concrete example that will explain this right away. Let's say I mistook it for either speaking from stage in front of hundreds of people, which I've done, and this wasn't that, it was, you know, in front of my daughter. But let's say I thought I was speaking from stage, or let's say I thought I was teaching a class. All right, those are different genres, different speaking situations. It would have bombed. Even if they would have been perfect words from stage, even if they would have been perfect words in a classroom. Today, Dana, I'm going to talk to you about these 3 things about why it matters because to come over here. That might be a perfect opening for teaching a class, for instance. Would have bombed not understanding the word situation that I'm in. 1, relationship. 2, empathy. 3, add word skill. 4, learn the genre, the kind of word situation we're in. If we mix up speaking with networking, we can't get anywhere. If we mix up networking with LinkedIn, with Instagram, can't get anywhere. We need to know the particular genre we're in. When we have those 4 key principles of a persuasion, relationship, empathy, add word skill, learn the genre, we can keep it real. Dana gets up across the room and other people will too. All right. Add word skill. I promised I would teach you a piece around this word skill that will truly help. And I want to teach you this word, deadwood. And every single class I taught at university, they always learned this word, deadwood. It's an extremely important word. Deadwood, it's like that extra stuff that's lying around. This is deadwood. This is extra stuff. It's just lying around. It's not doing anything. Let me give you 1 of me and 2 of me. 1 of me would have been, hey, Dana, by the way, I'm not sure about what you're doing right now. I think you're probably just sitting, you know, reading something on, already all of you are probably falling asleep, and she would have been too. Right? Oh, Dana, did you come here for just for a sec? There's nothing extra there. Deadwood is all those extra words that get in the way. That's related to that point earlier. Remember, practical applications get results with your words. Nothing extra there. Nothing extra. Right to the point. Deadwood. Removing deadwood. But you got to know when to remove it too. I don't want you all going out there going like, where's the deadwood in what I'm saying? Let me get it just right. Come here, please. Like, right now, for now, I don't want you, like, go ahead. Forget about deadwood. Don't worry about it. Because we got to know when to start removing words that get in the way. And if we remove them too soon, our editor kicks in. That's that voice inside us that doesn't help us. Wait, maybe I shouldn't have said that word. I should have said something else. We get all balled up and we can't even remember what we were going to say. Don't worry about deadwood for now. I want you to know that word. But for the moment, just don't worry about it. Speak the words as they come to you. And then we'll add skill over the course of the course, all right? And tell you when to figure out about deadwood. But sometimes know that you already know this stuff. Kids know this. Kids are very persuasive. You got that? It's like, how do they get their parent to give them that cookie when they shouldn't give them that cookie? We're persuasive as kids and then we forget stuff. So I just want you to know that eliminating deadwood, for instance, is kids don't have deadwood because they get straight to the point. Mom, can I have a cookie, please? So know that removing the deadwood is already in you. We'll come to that skill later. So a couple of the skills that we can have is adding word skill and then story skills we need as well. Making one point. Mom, can I have that cookie? And can I have that airplane? And can we go this afternoon? The mom's going to say, you know, I'm tired. No, you can't do any of those things. But as entrepreneurs, we often do that accidentally. Hey, Dana, would you come just for a sec? And I'm not going to tell her that I might want three things from her afterwards, which I didn't, but I might have. One thing. A good story has just one point. We make one point. And removing the deadwood and making one point is related. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just wanted to show you some of the things under relationship empathy. I was giving you a piece of adding word skill. Many skills we'll learn through the course of this this series, but also some people only think that word skill is everything. You might have thought you were just coming here for number three. But all the word skill in the world will not work if we don't have the other pieces. So we're going to learn at all of those levels. Otherwise, all those formulas and fill in the blanks would work. You know, hire a copywriter for $10,000 a page. It's still not going to land if we can't even tell the copywriter what to say. If there's stuff inside of us that's getting in the way, that's leaking into the copy, and it happens even with me, and I'm going to give you an example later on in the course. We got to clear all that stuff out of the way, right? So, four principles of persuasion. Why formulas don't work. I already talked about that. I'm going to talk to you about this next time. I'm going to put it on my page next time. Okay. I want to give you a couple more principles before we close today. Again, we're always like an hour and a half, but I don't punch a clock. If all of you have to go in an hour and a half, I'll just keep on teaching. I'll have it in the recording. And everybody goes, I'll teach you it next time, all right? But just block out a couple of hours, all right? I want to teach you the close to far principle. And it's related. I can teach you this really quickly, and you'll see that it's related to the way the course is structured. And if you just get this, I tell you, there's people that have invested tens of thousands of dollars in this one principle, would have saved them that if I got to them soon enough, right? So here's the thing with words. Start, the close to far principle goes like this. Start close in, train close in, and then move to far away. And Jasmine is nodding because she's already running into this. She really, really gets this. Often people start out building their website, create, maybe trying out Facebook ads and what else? And building their bio and all that stuff, right? I did that at first too when I left the university. Spent $10,000 on my first website. How much business did I get from that? I think pretty well zero. But the company's grown, you know, from what, like, company's grown from learning how to make, you know, 10 or 100 or 1,000, like, and then I teach other people how to do that, right? You know, quickly and easily. First, that first, you know, six-figure year, and then month, and then weekend, and so on, right? Like, and how do you do that? Well, you got to start close in. So what I mean by that, if there's a live human being with an eyes and nose and a mouth, two eyes and nose and a mouth in front of you, and they can't hear you, but then you spend money on your website and on Facebook ads, how are those faceless, nameless people going to hear you? How are they going to hear us? I don't know how to get there from there. So the organization of this course starts with talking to real live people. See, I'm doing this even though I've been working in the field of words and stories over 25 years and I'm still looking at you because I'm seeing, like, are you paying attention? Are you seeing this? Are you hearing this? Are you bored? Are your faces lighting up? Are you concentrating? Like, where are you? Right? And So we learn it with real live people. And that's how we train. And when that one person lights up, when we say what we do, well, then we know we have something and it's simpler than we think. Then we can move from to speaking on stage, having a one-on-one conversation where somebody could enter into our work, and then on live stages and then on virtual stages and so on. Start close in, move to far away. The last principle I'm going to get to, the principle of connection. We'll get to next time, but I'm just going to tell you that the core of it is that everything is connected, and it's the foundation of important words. And we're going to of words that land, and we're going to get to that next time. Everything is connected. Everything is connected, and when we understand how that works, how to apply that when we go and meet somebody, it changes everything. Oh, and I do want to teach you just one piece about it really quickly, because I'm going to send you off with what I call some home play. You can always find a connection with a person in front of you. It's easy to do. You might be wearing the same color shirt. You might come from the same place. You might both own dogs. Whatever it is, I want you to go out and play with the people with two eyes and a nose and a mouth, and just find ways that you connect with people and how quickly you can do that. And that will serve you so much when we get to all the next pieces. So that's your home play. How can you connect with that person? And the way you can do that, number one, ask questions. Number two, listen to them. Number three, notice what matters to them. Number four, have some fun with it. Go play with this. And number five, then of course, from that, create connection. And from that, we're gonna build all the pieces that we do to have a power and influence with our words. All right. We're coming toward the end of our 90 minutes together. Again, I don't punch a clock very well, so sorry about that, but I always have so much to share with you. We'll try to end, you know, we'll always end, we will usually end sometimes in this and maybe 15 minutes after this, somewhere in that bracket, but try to always block off a couple of hours for our calls. One of the things I want to say next time around, by the way, don't be surprised, we're going to start with Shavasana. We're going to start with quiet time. The reason that we do that is that the words don't come from all this busyness. We have a monkey mind going like, oh my goodness, maybe I said the wrong thing. Maybe I said the right thing. Blah, 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 blah. We can't even think. Empathy requires presence. Presence requires silence. And from that silence, we're leaking energy all the time with all these words in our head that are going in multiple different directions. And Steve, even his words were going in different directions. And just that one change is going to change everything for his company when he really has words to hear and implement what we said, right? So we're going to start from the silence. And I suggest you just, between now and when we next meet, just when you get up out of bed, just roll out of bed, lie on the ground just for a couple minutes and breathe. I suggest that each of you start your day that way. Just take you a couple minutes and you'll be so much better prepared as well. That's your other home play. So much better prepared for where we're going to take you. The words get sourced, I promise, from that space of silence, not from all the busyness in our heads where we can't hear ourselves, much less the person in front of us, right? So next time also, we're going to talk about like what we must not do when we meet somebody. Like people make some really key mistakes, like what we must not do and what actually works when we meet somebody so that they can get engaged right away with our work and what we do and how we can inspire them in people. That's part of the place we're going to start close in with those real life people. All right. Just a reminder, some of the things I've asked you to do, please read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. If you've already read it, read it again. You're going to hear it with different ears after this call today, right? Read Anatomy. Please do the survey because I want to know what matters to you and what matters to you now after this call. Might be quite different than what mattered before. We're already learning some things here. Go and find those connections. See how you connect with people and jot some notes about it too. See what you noticed, and all that data is going to help us into our next call. And then please remember to ask questions. Don't think it has to be related to the materials. Like, what question do you have that will get you to the next place in your business? What are you aiming at? What are you trying to build? And then what's your, let me help you take your best next step. What's the question? And I will help you with the question, even if you don't know what to ask. Like, Michelle, I don't know what to ask. What should I ask? That's a fine question, all right? If you have questions about anything that isn't clear or the email isn't in your inbox, please email emily@michellegunderson.com, my assistant Emily. And that's about it for next time. So we always are going to end our calls with one aha and one inspired action. An aha so that we build a world where we're always having insights that grow our company, and one inspired action so we can take this work out into the world so it's not just, you know, shelf help or head knowledge like sometimes used to happen at the university where I used to live. Like, action in the world. So, and if you've had to leave already, hope you're hearing this in the recording. And for those who are here, you will stand for the others. Thank you for still being here. And you're up in my upper left-hand corner. So you're going to begin first, just one sentence, one aha, one thing that stays with you. Just one, whatever comes to mind quickly, one sentence, and then one inspired action. It might be, I'm going to make one phone call, a check-offable action. I'm going to go talk to people and the next person and see if I can make a connection. It could be anything. So Anne, you're up first. Please go ahead.
I think connecting with a person is something I would like to do. And I work with children and horses, and I really want to listen to the children this afternoon when I go out to the barn.
Fantastic. Yes. And what's your aha? What's the thing that you learned? Was that same thing?
I think the up close thing, because I've been doing this a long time, and I did start up close, but then my mind with all this internet, and I'm older, the internet stuff, I get very busy in my brain. Like, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. And so I did start up close, and it really works.
Yes, great. And then I should, and then can't get there to that. So how do I translate that over to here? And we'll talk about that in the course too, and know that you've got exactly the right grounding to take it out there to that next level out there in the world. So Anne, thank you. Beautiful. Yes. Steve, you're up next. One aha, one inspired action.
So my aha was the little play that we did, and that I need to be clear about how I am moving my business forward in ways that are empowering.
Yeah, yeah, and thank you for allowing me to play, because that's instructive for everybody who had ears to hear. This is so huge. Thank you. Yeah. Your inspired action.
So I'm going to reread the anatomy.
Thank you. Perfect. Yes, you hear very different things. It's been a while, I know. Since the last time you read it, it'll be interesting what you see this time around. Really great. Thank you. Barb, you're up. One aha, one inspired action.
My aha is that you can build relationships quickly with
Thank anyone. You for hearing that. Yes, thank you for hearing that. It's crucial, and we will learn how.
And my action is to try to implement that with the people that I encounter.
Fantastic. Thank you, Barb. Love it. And again, we'll take that a step further next time. Jasmine, you're up.
My aha and combined action are, my aha inspired action are really combined. Thinking about Lindsay's comment at the very beginning about using her strengths, and then thinking about empathy and its role in making your words resonate and connect. I am a very empathetic person, and I am doing my marketing through social media, and I recently engaged and asked folks just like, what is your number one challenge with, you know, my niche? And I got so many responses and so much. And I've been putting off, I asked, like, can I follow up with you in Messenger to follow the conversation yesterday? And I sort of was putting off, like, do I want to get into these deep conversations today? Do I want to do this right before the break? Like, people are going on vacation. And then, no, that empathy in me, that really building connection in me, like, these people need my help, can use my help. I have something to offer. And so my inspired action is to take that empathy and go start those conversations, even though, like, there's so many reasons why I want to hold back.
Stand, live in my strengths. Know that I'm empathetic, enacted. Yes. Thank you. Beautiful. Dottie, you're up. Don't forget, you're muted. Just a sentence or two, just a sentence, one aha, one inspired action.
I'm like Jasmine. I really like the idea of, you know, it's in the service, even if we are a little down or whatever. I like that. And my action is that I'm also going to reread the anatomy.
Thank you. Beautiful. Love it, Dottie. Yes. Lindsay, you're up. And Lindsay, you're up. Are you able to?
So my aha, hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. My aha really was that you can always find a way to connect with people. Now, I don't feel like I struggle with this. I feel like this is one of my strengths, and my team asks me a lot, like, Lindsay, how do you find something to talk to everybody you meet about? but I never really have a good answer. I just always was like, I don't know, I just do. And so it made me think that I need to probably dive into this a little bit deeper and find out what exactly that is so that I can take it back to my team.
Ah, and this is crucial, right? Because I already have that skill, but then how, it's so important for you to be able to train people on that, because that is a key skill of how you're doing what you're doing, and you need to be able to have it translate over to them. So that's that learning at that next level. Fantastic. Yes, always that next level. Thank you. Your inspired action, is that taking that to the cheer team? Yeah?
Yes, correct.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Anna Maria, I don't know if you can speak from where you are. If you are, going once. Okay. Yeah, there you are. Okay. Anna Maria, go ahead.
So I was thinking the importance of words, really knowing where they're coming from deep inside of me. So having the clarity of knowing where are they coming from.
Thank you for hearing that. Thank you. It's why those formulas don't work. It's why it's not just the word skill that we need. It's that it comes from such a deeper place. Yes. And your inspired action.
Really be braver when meeting people and asking questions and be interested. Not that I'm not interested, I'm interested, but I have to be courageous.
Yes, fantastic. So glad you talked about that, underlining that, because that's going to set us up so well for the next training. Thank you so much. Beautiful. I have one more person. It just says iPhone. If you haven't spoken yet and you're on the call, last chance.
It's me. I'm Elaine.
Elaine, thank you. Go ahead. One aha, one inspired action.
My aha is I have a lot of deadwood, and my call to action is I'm going to remove it.
Love it. And there was no deadwood in that. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you. That one thing could change your company. Just that one piece, and we're going to get to that and so, so much more. And then removing it at the right time in the right place. Don't get nervous about it, guys, okay? Just enjoy, have fun, chat with people, notice those connections. And thank you so much for being here. So great to hear everything you brought to the table here. Like, I can teach where you're listening and asking questions and contributing, and this is an outstanding group. I'm so excited about where we're going to go. This is going to be an amazing, amazing series, I know already. Please remember to ask your questions. Please remember to fill in the survey. Please read anatomy and have a fantastic U.S. Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, whether you're from the U.S. or not. And we'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye for now.